everyone. Welcome to the Screen Strong Families podcast, bringing you the best solutions for parents who are serious about eliminating screen problems in their homes. This is Mandy Hammond, and I'm so glad you're joining us today. If you're one of our regular listeners, welcome back. And if you're a new friend, we're so glad you found us. You are no longer alone on this journey of navigating screens in your home. You have found your people. Well, today's episode is a little bit different, so I'm just going to do a quick intro to an interview I recently did with a man that I met at a workshop. I get the opportunity to travel around the country and speak to different crowds, and in January, I had the opportunity to leave the cold Midwest and go all the way to Florida and enjoy some sunshine and also meet a lot of incredible people. Well, after my main session, which was to a group of homeschool families, it was a camp that a lot of families attend every single year for a week. So primarily homeschoolers, great group of people. And I was at my table afterwards, and this guy came up and said, "Hey, you know, I love what you're doing here. Your message was so great." And I'm like, "Oh, cool. Thanks." And as he's looking, kind of motioning to my table, you know, we have our handouts and different resources and things. He's like, "You know, I love this." He goes, "I actually grew up screen strong," or, you know, what you call screen strong. I'm like, "Really?" And he's like, "Yeah, but it kind of backfired on our family." He said, "Honestly, we didn't have Wi-Fi," and basically went on to tell me how he found pornography anyway, and that this was a very hush-hush topic in his family that they were not allowed to talk about. And so I really hope that you will gain something out of today's interview, because it was something that I thought, you know what, people need to hear this perspective too. And so let's go record this right now. So right then and there, we went out outside in the sunny Florida sun and had a great conversation about his experience, how he found pornography anyway, and how that affected his life, and then what he's doing now. And so I guess the moral of the story today is to have the conversation. Have the hard conversation with your kiddos, starting in an earlier age than you would think. There's so many great resources out there. You know, we have awesome resources for you through our student course that really explains to kids and teenagers kind of how pornography affects the brain. And it's just really important that we have these conversations and that we don't just, you know, hush hush the topic and throw it under the rug and pretend that it's not there. Because it's really not a matter of if, but when your child is going to be exposed to inappropriate content. It's just the world that we live in now. So I just really appreciate his story and so glad that he was there to share it with our audience. So I hope you will enjoy this interview with Isaac Carroll. So I am sitting here with Isaac Carroll that I met down in Florida at the Florida Shindig. I was asked to be a speaker here, and Isaac came by my table and talked to me and shared me his story. And so I just thought it'd be really important for our audience to hear kind of how he was brought up and how he just his story. So I'm going to pass it over to him and let him explain just what you explained to me earlier, your story, your background, how you encountered porn as a boy, you know, and then what you did about that. And just kind of tell us your story, because I think it's really interesting. Isaac came to me and said, "Hey, I love what you're doing, but I also came from a family that didn't have any screens and I encountered porn elsewhere. And this is what happened." So I found this very fascinating, and I think parents need to know this side of it as well. So Isaac, I'm gonna let you take it over and just tell us what you want us to know.
My name's Isaac Carroll. I'm originally from the state of Mississippi. I currently live with my wife and my firstborn in South Carolina. So I grew up with a family of 11 children. The majority of my life I spent with more of 9 siblings. So that's who I grew up with, but they've had 2 since I kind of was absent from the home. We were a very, you could say, very sheltered atmosphere. My family, they homeschooled, just, you know, one of those big families, you know, kind of weirdos to most people and stuff like that. So we kind of grew up in that kind of atmosphere. My family, we actually did not get cell phones as quickly as most of the world did. I think the reason my parents got cell phones, because we made a big old trip to Washington State when my dad was in the military, and that's when they kind of got into cell phone usage. So I think I was probably around 10 years old, somewhere in there, when we got that. So we mostly had landlines. We didn't have cable TV. I don't even think they do not have cable TV to this day. All movies are vetted by my parents and stuff like that. So most of our internet usage, if we had Wi-Fi, even in the house, was well monitored by my family. They were very good about trying to keep that out of the atmosphere. They're very good about trying to keep us from hearing certain words or terms used in the home. That way we could kind of not have to. Basically, the goal was to, I know I've heard it from my mom, her goal was to keep us children as long as we possibly could, just from the background she's from and stuff like that. So as I got to my puberty years, around 12 and 13, of course, as young person, you start being very curious. And natural occurrences in the human body, of course, as you have talked about in your message, that kind of stuff has just started going. And I think at the time, my mom was discussing with my dad on how to properly educate me getting into puberty, on how she needed to address and educate me on that. Of course, she come from a public school background, so she knew the dangers of sex education and stuff like that, so she was real careful about that. I believe my dad gave her the jurisdiction to discuss that topic of puberty with me. So in doing so, she came to me one day and was like, I have a little something I want you to read. And it was something I think she had gone through and checked to make sure there wasn't any majorly bad terms or anything like that, that they, she would have called bad terms being used, and allowed me to read that to kind of get a feel for that. I'm the oldest, so I was kind of the one they learned on with this kind of stuff. They, when I was 15, I was allowed to have a flip phone. I personally asked for just a flip phone because, I mean, we had smartphones at the time, but in the world at least. But I specifically asked for a flip phone and had that for a good probably year to 2 years, I believe, something like that, until the service was just that terrible on those little things. So I upgraded to a smartphone, but I specifically asked for no internet or data on it. And, of course, parents obliged. So, had that. Getting into the later, let's see, I think it was about 15 I dual enrolled. So my dad lent me a computer from his, he works at a college. So he lent me a computer, and that's where I started having a lot of major computer, what's the word, usage. Mm-hmm. Computer usage, and used a lot of that during my 15, 16, and 17 years of dueling and enrolling and home education. So then about 18, 19, I graduated and moved on into adulthood. I got a regular phone and stuff like that. So that's kind of how my progression of the screen usage, you can tell it's just like not, it was not that much. We were very athletic. We did a lot of stuff outside. I mean, we've built the forts and the mud cakes and all that kind of stuff outside, built stuff out of sand and rocks and mud and biked and everything. So we kind of had a lot of that you got to share that needs to be a part of our life. So I'm really thankful that we kind of were able to have that kind of experience. So that's kind of the basics of what I kind of grew up in, yeah. If you know what I mean.
With that being said, so at Screen Strong, we talk a lot about, you know, these are the activities you need for a healthy brain. You need to be outside in nature. You need to sleep. You need, so it sounds like you had all of those things, which was awesome. But you had shared with me right around age 14 is when you actually encountered pornography for the first time. Can you tell us a little bit about that and how that came to be and then what you did at that point about it?
About 14 years old, I, of course, did not have a phone at the time. There was I don't even know if we had Wi-Fi in the house at the time. Yeah, I don't think we had Wi-Fi at the time because most of my dad's work was at work. So we did not have Wi-Fi. I was staying with my grandfather and got on his computer and basically looked up pictures of naked women. It's basically what I was looking up. And I felt very, very mortified in myself and was kind of disgruntled about myself for probably several weeks. I felt like I didn't belong anywhere. I was the only one holding some type of secret in my mind. I'm supposed to be this really sheltered Christian person. So after that, I kind of surrounded myself and my persona with more of a righteous exterior, trying to act more righteous to kind of counterbalance, in a way, mentally speaking. I'm not saying, but mentally speaking, trying to counterbalance who I was on the dark side, basically. That was at 14. It started every now and again. It just started to increase, and I would somehow find a device somewhere, or I think it may have been at a nursing home one time that I had gotten on their public computer and stuff like that, looking for pornography. I was probably 15 at the time, maybe 14 and a half, 15, something like that. And then I started college, and Dad lent me the computer. And then I actually had a device given access to me. And I remember my dad specifically telling me at the time that you don't need to do, just, I'm lending you this computer, but you can't do anything bad on it. And he did say that. And obviously I went against that. So I know that it was my fault in that situation by going against my father's guidance. The thing I think though was at the time, I guess, I don't know exactly how to explain it, but it wasn't clear enough to me to be able to really attack the problem.
So did your dad know at that time when he gave you the computer, did he know about your, need to look at pornography, that had happened? Had you gone to him yet about it?
No, he did not. He was probably not even expecting it. He's raising probably 7 or 8 kids at the time that didn't have any usage on any of the devices. So I would say that he was probably assuming that he had a pretty good household in that regard, trying to keep all of his access to computers and stuff away from the house so that they didn't have to have that kind of issue. If we did, it was highly monitored by my mom to some extent.
Or when? At what point did you tell your dad then that you had a problem?
Okay, so fast forward to 17, it was a very common occurrence for me to go looking to find pornography. And I was very mad at myself. I hated myself in a lot of ways. I just could not bear myself. I couldn't look at myself in the mirror. I had gotten glasses at the time. I was finally to the end of myself, and I wanted to be free. So the only thing I could think of was tell somebody, I guess. And actually, one of the shindigs, a preacher, had mentioned the word pornography, and I actually realized, well, this has to be addressed. So a friend of mine told me how he had admitted to his dad about the issue and made it clear to him, and his dad was able to help him. So I was like, okay, well, I'm going to talk to my dad about this. And so I went to my dad, in a lot of ways, I was kind of afraid of my dad and what he would think. We basically went out. I asked him, I was like, listen, I got something to tell you. We need to go out and talk about it. So we went and talked about it. I admitted it, laid it on the table and whatnot. And from that point, he gave me a hug and told me that he loved me. And at that moment, he surrounded me with compassion on having admitted to him the issue of pornography in my life. That point on, I feel like that I have been on the road to freedom in that way. And very shortly after, it was eliminated because I was able to come clean about it to someone older than me. In regards to how it went from there, my father started, instead of helping me to address the particular root problem, he started trying to assist me in my endeavors to cover the issue in some kind of way. I know he mentioned a verse that sometimes love covers a multitude of sins, which is a great verse. He started using that one. So he kept it secret from my mom, my siblings. At the time, I didn't know it, but other siblings were struggling in the area, and they had brought it to their dad, or he had gone to them asking about it. So I didn't know that they were also struggling. They didn't know that I was struggling. We all looked at ourselves like everybody else was perfect in some way. My mom thinking all her kids are perfect in some kind of way. My dad, when I started getting into relationships and having more of a balance of where I needed to be for life in the later teen years, right around 19 and 20, he started using the past that I had with it in a way that kind of weaponized, and he could move me in whatever. So, like, I was engaged to a one girl, and when I said, no, I would like to do it this way or some on some different thing, he started saying, well, if you don't do this, I'm going to tell your future father-in-law about your past, and started kind of using that in some kind of way to, so then I felt afraid, like I needed to do what my father needed me to do in that regard. And I've mentioned it to him before, he kind of sees that as a way to be able to punish his kids in some kind of way so that they can obey him. So that was kind of, that became a very, very frequent issue, which made me distrust him and not bring as much of my problems to my father. So after that, I just, when it came to masturbation or pornography or any other issue, I just became very hesitant to even bring it to him. I started going to other Christian men in my life or young men that had maybe been through the issue themselves and admitting to them and getting their advice on the issues, because I truly, in my heart, wanted to be free from this. And as a son to a father, I wanted to be able to give my heart to him and be able to fix myself, because here I am with this problem that I know in my heart is not right, and I was trying to get it out of there, but I couldn't do it by myself, and we can't, honestly. We can't do it.
If you could go back, if you would have any control of how your dad would respond, what would have made it better, do you think? Like, and I'm really talking to parents here who, we have so many people in our audience that have discovered that their child, girl or boy, has gotten into pornography or is addicted to it even. And it's a really, sometimes you have a knee-jerk reaction of like, oh my gosh, what are you thinking? And how did you get into that? You know, which I think is normal too for a parent. But like, what if you could go back and your dad would have responded differently? Like, initially he responded what you needed, and that's great. I love that he hugged you and enveloped you in love and told you he was there. But then it sounds like from there, he probably didn't really know what to do. So what do you think would have made it better? What did you need as a 14-year-old boy?
I think if I could go back to 12 years old, I read in a magazine where somebody was discussing the issue of pornography. So I went to my mom and I asked her, what's porn? And she was like, oh, we're not going to talk about that. And it was a taboo topic in our home. The word sex was a taboo topic in our home. Puberty was even a taboo topic in our home. Many different words were just, we don't say those things. We don't talk about them. They don't exist. We want to keep you children as long as possible. So if I would go back, I would say I would have advised my parents to recognize that we're not going to stay children forever, and that we will grow up, and that we will be going into adolescence. With different hormones and stuff genetically now, children are going into adolescence as early as 9 years old sometimes. So this stuff has to be attacked at an earlier age. I would say the issues need to be talked about. Parents should be a covering for their kids and should be the definition. So when we attack the topics, when my parents would have attacked the topics, they would have gone and said, okay, let's talk about pornography with our kids. Guys, this is the issues. We live in a world that's full of this junk, and we don't want y'all to encounter it, but you can find it anywhere if you actually want to. And we don't want you to. So we have set these parameters in place, such as Covenant Eyes or Screen Strong or whatever, so that we can help you to not find that stuff. But we're telling you that it exists so that we can do that. When it comes to hitting puberty, I would have wished that my father personally, man to man, would have said, son, we got to have a talk. Okay, we got to talk. You're about to go through some growth changes. It's going to do changes to your body. This is how it's going to change your body. List them out. In depth, if he has to. I remember Jace Robertson from Duck Dynasty. He talked about how he asked his dad about STDs, and his dad gave him the gruesome list of things. And he to this day, he's a good man as far as I can see in that regard. So I can only see the benefit of it, even if the child is like, oh, I don't want to hear that. So I would wish they had brought those topics and been in depth in some kind of way. Now, there was a few things that my parents were in depth on, but they didn't give us the best way to take the topics and be discreet about it as well. Because I think if parents do set an example of discretion, but do talk about the issues at the same time, then their kids will learn to do like their parents, because they learn everything you talked about in the message about all the mirror neurons and stuff like that. That stuff is so important. They get that from their parents. So if they had kind of used that in my life. The other thing too is that when it came to the issue of pornography, I wish that he had been more open about talking about that in the family, so that we could see that, hey, we all struggle here. We all have problems with, or we all are capable of having this problem. And my siblings could have learned, even after I struggled, they could have been able to not make the same mistakes I did. And even now, I would have wished so badly that they would be more open and honest about that stuff and talked about it. Because if you're not talking about it, then it's going to make it so difficult for them to even know. They're in the process of learning and developing. So parents have to be the authority on learning in that regard. So I think those are a few things. Was there anything else you were thinking?
No, I think that's fabulous. It's exactly what I was thinking. Because we talk a lot, in our workshops, where we talk about how conversations alone don't work. Like, you can't just have the one and done conversation. But also you have to have these ongoing conversations. And especially as society kind of gets worse, right, in a lot of ways, and kids are more and more exposed to this earlier and earlier, we have to talk to them about it earlier and earlier. So they know that it's out there. They know it can be damaging to their brain. And then, hey, if you look or you see something that makes you uncomfortable, come right to me and tell me. Like, I'm a safe place. And I think that was important. Your story struck me when you were telling me about it earlier. And I thought, people need to hear this, just because you did come from a screen-free family, right? But this is just an example of, this stuff is everywhere. And it's not a matter of if, but when your child's going to be, exposed to it. And so what do we do in this situation? Anything else you want to share? I kind of want to hear too about how you then are where you are now, because obviously you're living free from this addiction and you're thriving. So tell us about that too.
Talking about from then, what was my solution and what solved the problem in my life as someone who had the mess ups and the problems, how that went. I have found that it is so much easier that if I want to take a week off of Facebook, I do it. If I want to take a couple days and not do it, I do it, because I'm not worried about having to be on there. I don't have to sit there, be swiping through reels. I don't have to be on Snapchat, sending off all the snaps and stuff to all my friends and whatnot. Because if they really want to talk to me, they can call me up on the phone or send me a text or something like that. So, and being more intentional about my relationships with my church family, with my coworkers, my wife, of course, and my son, that's been a big thing for us, me and my wife, learning the balance between our phone usage and being able to give our son attention, because I think it is important that we limit it as much for ourselves. I mean, yes, we can get by and do that, but our kids are watching us. And I mean, he sees that we're not giving him as much of attention and stuff. So that's been a big thing, is learning, okay, I'm free to do this. I'm not hurting myself in some kind of way, but am I hurting him by maybe, not being intentional about my phone usage in front of him? At work, maybe it's a different story, but in front of him, I have to give him the proper attention and help him to be able to see the surroundings, basically, outside of the cell phone usage. So we have that. The other thing I was going to mention is that with now having a child and my wife and being able to, and possibly more kids on the way, it's like, I have a goal as the husband and father of my home to be able to recognize the different things. And that starts with everything that I have been through, knowing the different social medias, the different online usages and stuff, and recognizing that I can't stop it. It's going to be there. They're going to find it some way. They're going to encounter somebody, and taking the right precautions. And in my home, this is a little different. I may possibly have to one day have Screen Strong or Covenant Eyes or whatever, but my goal is to give them the basis of where the root problem is, and showing them that, hey, I'm sorry, this is going to be an issue you're going to have to deal with, and approaching those issues as young as I need to. That's something I'm already getting ahead of the ball game with, even though he's only under a year old. I'm like, he's going to need this kind of training if he's going to be successful in this regard. And understanding that when they mess up, I've got to be very, not lenient, lenient is not the word, but understanding. Because I mess up, they're going to mess up. You know, and when they mess up, I've got to be the one to be able to say, hey, okay, I'm right here. I'm going to help you back up. Because if I'm just the authoritarian on the issue, then what I do is I make them afraid to come to me about the issues because they see me as all perfect. Yes, I might have everything right at the point that they have. But the goal is for them to be able to make the mistakes in a good environment, not feel like they've got to go outside of the environment, be vulnerable, make the mistakes, and then be afraid to come back to the safe environment. So that's kind of, I want my home to be the safe environment for them to be able to make the mistakes in a controlled lab, basically, you know, for them to be able to do that in good faith and know that their parents are right there to catch them. Without judging them and understanding them. That's what I want to be able to give to my kids. And in doing that, I think I can redeem the wild oats that have been sown by possibly my parents in that regard and be able to bring another generation that maybe can be stronger for that regard. So yeah.
No, this has been so encouraging to me. And I just, if you guys could see Isaac right now, I think you would just, you have a light on you and just a light in your eyes. And I think when somebody's addicted to pornography or they're living in that darkness, you can see it in their eyes. And I just see light in your eyes. And I mean, our audience can't see you, but I can see you. And there's light in his eyes and you can tell that you're living in freedom. And I really think that has to do with bringing it to the light. And so you tried to do that as a teenager, it kind of backfired on you. And that's what I want our audience to hear here. Like, if you have a child that's dealing with this, like, be there for them, be supportive, listen to Isaac's advice here. And, yeah. So just thank you so much for being vulnerable and really being vulnerable with your life, because you're talking, obviously I can tell you've told the story a lot of times. Like, this is part of your story now. This is part of your testimony, and you're helping other people because you're willing to be open and not live in shame about it. And I think that's our main thing is if our kids come to us with something, let's not hide it. Not that we have to go air out their dirty laundry either, you know, but amongst your family, like, be open about this conversation. Okay. So anything else you want to tell our audience before we close up here?
Just the one quick thing that I wanted to mention else, you know, one thing that my dad felt that was something he could do was to be able to just share this kind of information to other people. I found out it's been it's been 10 years since he actually did this, but he told a friend of mine, he told the dad of a friend of mine years ago about some bad thing that I did in my life. It went to that dad, and the dad recreated the story for his own son and made it look like we were on the same playing level and we were both bad kids because we were oldest kids. I reconnected my friendship with this guy, and he's got a falling apart life just trying to pull it back together. And I'm like, your dad really said that? No, this is what really happened. So I would suggest that parents let your kids be open about their past. Don't be open with your kids' past with other people. I mean, be open about that your family's not perfect, but don't be telling all the stories. That's why I was real general about my siblings, because I want them to be able to be forward about their own pasts. And I want other people to be able to learn from their story by themselves, not from me. So allow your kids to be open about their stuff with other people. Don't be open for your kids, because when you do that, then they may never come out about that stuff. So that's just one other thing I was going to mention.
Okay. Great. Thank you so much for taking time to meet with me today. And I think the moral of the story is here in this whole episode is to have the conversation. Have that conversation. If you've been thinking, okay, this is just a hard thing to talk about, I don't want to say the word porn in front of my kids, like, find ways that you can have this conversation. There's lots of great resources out there. One of our favorite books that we talk about a lot at Screen Strong is Good Pictures, Bad Pictures. If you've got younger kids, it's okay to tell them that this stuff is out there and that they need to be careful of it and what to do if they encounter it. So thank you again for your time.
Thank you all for listening today. I hope that you are encouraged by Isaac's story. And thank you to Isaac for just being so vulnerable in that moment with me and just being vulnerable with his life and sharing his story with others to help boys and men just like him in what he had to go through. And now he's inspiring so many others. So thanks so much for listening. We would love to see you over on Screen Strong Connect, which is our online forum for families. It's off of social media. It's really simple to join us by going to screenstrong.org. And don't forget, our student course just released in book format a couple of weeks ago, and we are so excited about it. This is a great resource for you to share with your kids to teach them about pornography and other dangers of toxic screens. We would love if you would please subscribe to the Screen Strong Families podcast and share this episode with a friend. Remember, we've got your back, and we are here to help you remove the screen conflicts from your home. So until next time, stand up for your kids, stand out from the crowd, and stay strong.